Hi, I'm Roy Crown, and welcome to Gospel Entrepreneurs. In this podcast, I find out about gospel entrepreneurs who are showing the kingdom wherever they find themselves. Today, I'm chatting with Megan Gamble, who founded Hashtag Me, a well-being initiative that aims to equip and empower people to better handle life's ups and downs. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Really looking forward to chatting with you, Roy.
So, Megan, tell me a little about you first. I know you've been to university and then you've kind of set up this business, but just a bit of background to you would be great so that people listening know who you are.
Yeah, of course. So I was born in South Africa, actually, and we moved to England over 20 years ago with my dad's work. So I live in the East Midlands. I'm married to Nick. I'm currently pregnant with our first baby. I'm in the final trimester now, so not long to go. I love Jesus. Nick and I are very involved in the local church and in youth work in particular. We've got such a passion for young people. We're really grateful to everyone who invested in us when we grew up. So yeah, we'd love to give back and hopefully help encourage and guide the next generation as well.
And you went to university where you studied. What did you study at uni?
So I studied international business, wasn't really sure what I wanted to study. And I actually took a year traveling before university and changed my course three times because it was a toss up between psychology, business. Yeah, my dad worked at Longford University. He headed up the business school and then later retrained to be a psychologist. My mum was a head teacher. So I've always grown up in a pastoral environment, I suppose. And I knew I wanted to make a difference and I didn't know what would be the best route to doing that through university. So landed on international business.
And you've always been entrepreneurial, which is hence setting up the hashtag me. But just give us some of the things you've been involved in and then we'll get onto the hashtag me, which sounds really interesting.
Well, yeah, I think, as you say, growing up, I've always had this entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, selling my toys outside the house from a young age. I actually did loads of fundraising things. I organized for groups of students to go to South Africa on safaris. And yeah, I've been juggling sort of part-time jobs from a young age, from 13, 14. I funded my year of traveling by working at five different places. So I've always really enjoyed kind of the business world, I suppose, making a difference, being able to do something for yourself. But yeah, as you said, it was actually during my final year at university where the idea came to me. So I was the welfare rep for the university women's hockey club. And I was seeing maybe three or four girls each week who were struggling. Could have been eating disorders, anxiety over selection and scholarships, bullying. And sadly, I didn't really feel like there was anywhere to signpost them to, or the waiting lists were quite long. And it was only when a friend of mine who had experienced an eating disorder herself came to visit, and I asked her if she could chat with this one student, that I kind of realized the power of peer support and opening up to someone who can relate in particular. But I had done a placement year and I'd been offered a job with my placement company in Boston for when I graduated, with a fantastic salary and benefits. So the decision was, do I take that, you know, easy option, great, or do I start this initiative called Hashtag Me? I knew it'd be focused around helping people in some way. And I had this strong conviction to use, you know, an image of the lighthouse as our logo if I did go for it. But I was, you know, conflicted and kind of unsure what to do. So yeah, Nick and I went to go visit my parents in Israel during that Easter of my final year at university. I've known him for over 10 years. Oh gosh, longer than that now. He's my brother's best friend. One of those stories. So yeah, we were together at this stage, which in itself is another story. And I'd had lots of people speak and encouragement to me, but I prayed that God would make it really clear what his will and calling for my life was on this trip. After a few encounters with the Holy Spirit and different revelations, I actually got a really clear prophetic image from a total stranger towards the end of the trip. We were at one of the churches after service, about being a lighthouse on a hill, shining out, helping the broken and the lost. So that was, you know, I was in tears. I was totally blown away at how clearly God had just spoke to me.
Because you had this image of a lighthouse. So when they said that, the two things joined up.
100%. And it was so, you know, only God can do that. I hadn't shared that with anyone. I didn't even think I'd shared it with sort of my parents. I just loosely knew Hashtag Me would be about helping people, and that if I was to go down that route, this lighthouse was important. I didn't even know what that lighthouse would look like, the logo, but it just needed to involve a lighthouse. So that really spoke clearly to me. I mean, God knows how we hear from him. And, you know, he, yeah, there was no way I could turn my back on that calling. So had real peace, even though I guess no salary, no clear business plan, no team, no co-founder at that stage. I knew it was what God was calling me to do. So yeah, after graduating in 2018, I set up Hashtag Me. And yeah, 5 years later, what an amazing journey it's been.
So you said goodbye to Boston and you set it up with nothing in the bank, not really knowing how to do it. Although you'd got, I'm sure, from business international studies, there was a level of that. You'd done some entrepreneurial things. So what is Hashtag Me? What is it?
So initially, I first set up what I thought was supposed to be like a mobile app. I thought that was what this, you know, initiative was supposed to be. Somewhere to kind of connect people, provide different resources, different, you know, sources of information all in one place. So I actually developed an app to prototype stage during my final year of uni, during the last few months and over those few months after graduating. But it didn't quite feel right. I think I was just so excited and I thought, yes, I've said yes, let's go, let's do it. And classic me, those who know me, running 100 miles an hour, just went for it, invested everything into that. And obviously I had lots of people inputting, all with good intention, but I think I was finding it quite hard to know exactly what it should be. So I went on a retreat in Bournemouth for 4 days on my own just to fast and pray and rest and hear from God. And that's where he revealed educational institutions, university students in particular, and to kind of base it on this Alcoholics Anonymous model with a course and do it in a face-to-face kind of capacity. We are living in such a technology-driven and shaped world. So I needed to cut through that noise, cut through the isolation of an online presence and actually connect people. So our main service revolves around equipping and empowering students to better handle life's ups and downs and maximize their experience, whether that's at university or college. And we do this through these 12-week courses, which cover various topics around mental health and challenges, and they provide tools and coping strategies. So I guess how we describe it is the middle ground between chatting to a friend who perhaps can't relate, hasn't gone through a similar experience, and professional help, which is costly, daunting, can sometimes be inaccessible. So we connect like-minded students who can relate to form small peer groups. And then these groups of 5 to 6 students, they meet each week for an hour and they're led by 2 fellow students, so we call them facilitators, and they receive training from us before the course starts. We also employ student ambassadors to oversee each peer group and support the facilitators. And then there's a coordinator that sits on top of that. So it's an entirely sort of student-led initiative with a peer-to-peer mentoring model. The idea is to try and help students become more self-aware, resilient, as they, you know, share experiences, overcome challenges together. And that hour commitment can also help them to build a routine, become better organized, less stressed, more focused, you know, increases their employability if they're facilitating. So we're currently partnered with Loughborough, Nottingham Trent, Brookhouse College, but we also work with non-educational institutions to deliver workshops and training. So the Surrey NHS branch, Hofootball, Target Connect, Culture Shift, Talent Tap, you know, we've partnered with loads of different corporations and charities as well. So yeah, that's sort of what we do. I say in a nutshell, but I'm sure that was not the most concise answer.
Hey, and obviously what you do, you're a Christian. And it's not a Christian course because you're living in universities predominantly, but now you're breaking out of that. It's been amazing the way God has led you and the opportunities that he's given to you. I suppose the course is really around Christian values and building community. And then give us a couple of stories of some of the people that have gone through that you've just seen a real change in them would be great.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. So, yeah, as you say, I am a Christian, but the organization itself is not, you know, a Christian organization. It's really, it's tough when you're working in this industry. You want to be as inclusive and accessible as possible. But yeah, absolutely. As you said, we've got kingdom values and the principles that we reflect are that of the Bible. So we're trying to demonstrate unconditional love and acceptance and bring people out of the darkness by giving them hope and, you know, building that sense of community. So we've had, you know, first year students who were really isolated. Maybe they're international students. They've come from a different culture and country and they've done the course and their, you know, feedback at the end of it was this stopped me dropping out of university. I felt so lost in the beginning. It was such a big step up from anything I knew. And I've now found my community. You know, I feel I can belong in this environment. We've had some who've struggled with, I guess, a sense of purpose and identity. And through the course, they've really been able to discover what their purpose in life is. We've got these crisis safety plans at the back for, you know, if it gets as extreme as suicidal thoughts, or if they're just really experiencing low mood, self-harm. And, you know, there's been multiple occasions in the last 5 years where students have actually used those and supported one another and formed this community to really pick each other up when they are feeling down. And it's just, it's creating that additional safety net, and it's trying to be proactive so that, you know, our mental health doesn't have to spiral to that place. What a privilege it is to be doing this, to have people say, this has literally changed my life, or this has, you know, saved my life, or given me a sense of community or purpose. It's just incredible. And we've got loads of written testimonials, video testimonials on our website, on our YouTube channel. And I don't think a week goes by where I don't just sit and watch at least one of them. It's such a privilege to be able to have a direct impact on people's lives and just to see the way that God is at work.
Because it's quite a big thing. You were telling me that you'll get 400 students that will sign up. And then the critical thing is getting those community or groups together. So you spend a lot of time on that, don't you, to get like-minded people. And that's really where the chemistry, the course, the materials, I'm sure, are fantastic and amazing, but it's the community involvement that you really work hard at, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Roy. That is when you've got hundreds of students that sign up on each course, how do you bring them together? You know, there's universities, there's thousands of students, and you can feel so alone because you just don't know anyone else who's maybe going through something similar to you, or it can be quite daunting to go to a new activity or society. Institutions, colleges, universities, they do put on a lot of events and things, but it's, you know, it's really hard to find your people. So one of the main things we do, as you said, is to form these groups. I mean, it's days and days of work. We have, you know, spreadsheets. We have like a formula of how we do it. What do we take into consideration? When they sign up, they give their preferences. They state what they are maybe experiencing as challenges, their hobbies, their interests, loads of different factors that we are taking into consideration. And then to try and get them in a group of just five or six that can all meet at the same time and either online or in person, it's a bit of a headache, but it's so worth it and so rewarding. And then to try and match them with, you know, student facilitators that we feel could support them in the best way and help them on their journey. That's, you know, that's another part of it. But what is so wonderful is that when students have done the course, so often they go on to facilitate the next course. So they will go on to lead. We try and avoid hierarchy, so everyone's equal and everyone's there to learn and share together. But, you know, we do have the material and the discussion questions and things that, you know, two of them do take a lead on. And so often they want to go on and do that. We've had a student who did two courses during their first year. In their second year, they facilitated, and then they did a placement, which the role of facilitating helped them to secure. We wrote a reference for them. And when they came back from their placement, they were one of the paid student ambassadors, and they now work as a mental health support worker. And they have told us before, it's massively down to their involvement in hashtag me. It just opened their eyes to, you know, what you can do and how you can help people. And stories like that are just amazing. And we love to see that progression. It's all about the 12-week course, but it's actually about life after as well. You know, we want to be equipping and empowering for the long term and kind of making sure there's some self-management in place. You know, we won't always be here.
Isn't there a bit of a stigma in signing up for a course like this? Do you find that? Or, you know, there's more openness than there's ever been? Or do people just come? Is it kind of, no, I'm up for it, I want to do this? And obviously when you do it, sometimes you've got to give specialist support to people. So you've taken on a massive challenge, but is that true? Is there a stigma around this thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. And absolutely, you know, it's sad to say, but there is a bit of a stigma still. And that's part of what we're trying to do is reduce that stigma actually and break out of that. So when we first piloted this course, we piloted it in the local community. We ran some groups for domestic violence, young women, young men, for new mums. So we did lots of different groups just to kind of test the resources and see if this could work. And then we took it into kind of a university, and we had 20 students. That was what we kind of planned for, budgeted for as this pilot. And I did that in the business school where I had been studying, just to, you know, test it out. And we actually had 44 students sign up within the first few days. We had to close the sign up form because we just didn't have the resources or capacity to deal with it. This was literally, I'd officially registered hashtag me in August, graduated in July, June, July, registered the company in August. This was in January. So, you know, things had happened quick. When God moves, he moves. So that really showed the demand for it and actually how people, if there is support available, people generally will make use of it. But what we have tried to do is this course is accessible and available to all demographics, all types of students. We've tried to come away from it being a like specialist mental health service and actually saying, look, we all need to look after ourselves, learn strategies. We want to be the best version of ourselves we can be and, you know, reach our full potential. So this course allows you to do that. Of course, if some students sign up and they're struggling with PTSD or trichotillomania or all these different specialist things, we will group them together. And if we feel it's needed, we'll provide additional support in place for them. But actually, the vast majority of groups are students that are just a bit lonely, maybe feeling a bit overwhelmed at life or exams or stress, or, you know, they've come from a different culture, a different country. So they're just trying to navigate that. And actually, this is just a safe space for them to meet with others in a similar boat and just chat about things. Or maybe they can even talk about what they're studying and exam techniques. You know, it doesn't need to be so severe. And that's what we're trying to say. It's healthy. It's good to just chat about life and about your emotions and how you're doing. So we're really trying to break into that stigma and show that mental health is not just for those who are struggling with their mental health. We all have it. And it's, you know, it's important that we are proactive about it and we prioritize it so that it doesn't become an issue. But, you know, for those individuals that are really struggling, we work really closely with universities. We signpost them to the specialist services that are available. We've got a safeguarding team in place. So yeah, as I mentioned earlier, it's meant to be a bit of a safety net so that we can catch any individuals who might otherwise drop out of university or, you know, really go in on themselves and isolate themselves and their mental health deteriorates further.
It's great what you do. And you've had exponential growth, Megan. I mean, like, it's been amazing where you are now to where you were. You must have dealt with some pretty big challenges to get it from a startup to where it's now, you're employing staff, you have a whole operation. It's just amazing. What have been your biggest challenges in all of that, Megan?
Yeah, well, firstly, thank you. It's been a bit of a blur. I don't know quite how we just recently celebrated 5 years. It's gone so quickly, but really enjoyed it. And yeah, really privileged that God has just taken us from strength to strength. We have really grown. I think, to be honest, one of the biggest challenges I found was, especially in the beginning, was to get clear direction. It can be so tempting when you start a new business to just say yes to every opportunity or to be swayed by the opinions of others. And you just want to do it all. So you end up being a jack of all trades and you don't really have a clear vision. Maybe that's just me. So I had to actually learn to kind of streamline it and stay focused on the mission plan and the calling that God has given me and not to be swayed by all these good, but ultimately distractions. And even now, that's something I still have to check myself against. So we've got, you know, business goals, we've got our mission statement. And whenever opportunities come about, I have to kind of look, does this align or are we trying to do it all? Because at one stage, we were trying to branch out into communities and supporting mums, and that is great and it's so needed, but it wasn't what I was called to do. It wasn't what hashtag me is called to do. So it's just trying to make sure we remember what it is that God's called us to do, where our strengths lie, and to stay focused on that. COVID heavily impacted the way in which we delivered our courses and our service. So that was a tough time. But actually, I've got a board of business advisors who are brilliant. And one of them actually suggested, okay, let's make use of this opportunity. And so I started delivering sort of 15-minute wellbeing workshops on a Wednesday, which anyone could join. They were live on YouTube. So actually, okay, let's go out to the community online then if we can't meet in person. So we still ran our courses for university students. We moved everything online. We posted hundreds of logbooks to all sorts of places. I think Ghana was one of the furthest places we posted to. And so I think it's just about, it was about adapting really to that. And actually, I'm so grateful that we could continue to operate and offer the support during that time, because it was a really isolating time for a lot of people. And as a result of it, we've now actually got a bit of a hybrid model and we're developing more online resources and tools. So good has come from it. And I think the final challenge, I guess, is remembering that it's God's project, it's not mine. I need to hold it loosely and not try and do things in my own strength. You can often get caught up as a business owner. You're so caught up in the nitty-gritty, the day-to-day, and you feel so responsible. And I can often think it's down to me, you know, to make things happen or to secure this or to, you know, make sure we're sustainable. But actually, it's God's project, and I need to just hold it loosely and pray about it and give it to him and just, you know, see where he takes it. Because a week's worth of me trying to do things is, you know, if I could just sit back and pray for an hour, a lot more happens in that hour, I tell you that. And I don't know how many times that needs to happen before it fully sinks in, but, you know, I'm human, we're learning.
Megan, somebody listening to this, obviously you started it, well, while at university, really, was where it was shaped. They may have similar ideas or thoughts. What would you say to them? And obviously traveling to Israel, somebody bringing a word, you had the Lighthouse. What would you say to someone listening that may feel they've got an entrepreneurial idea and they're not sure what to do with it?
Yeah, I would say go for it. You know, don't be, I think the world can make you think, oh, you need to get a 9-to-5 job, you need to be, have security. And it can be really daunting. And especially when God calls you to do something, it can seem crazy a lot of the time. It doesn't quite make sense in our human brains. But I would just say, if you feel that you've got a seed or anything, just to go for it and seek wise counsel. I'm really privileged and fortunate, and my parents are so supportive and had a lot of input in terms of how to actually get it all started and what to do. But financial input, you know, I could stay, live at home. So make use of the support and the resources that are around you. But yeah, seek wise counsel from those who maybe work in business or have done something similar. Go to networking events or, you know, things like, for example, the Gospel Entrepreneurs. That was absolutely brilliant to just be connected to a community. We inspired each other. There was such a unity of dreaming together and praying together, pointing each other back to Jesus. And I met some really great people who have actually now connected me with wider people. So I would just put yourself out there. You never know where the connections may lead. One of the first workshops we ever did was for a friend of mine, their company. We did it to their managerial staff. So, you know, make use of your connections, seek wise counsel, and I think go for it. But yeah, lessons learned for me, don't go 100 miles an hour. Stop, pause, pray, keep checking in with God and make sure that you don't end up, you know, ultimately chasing something that wasn't the initial idea or isn't what God's calling you to do. Just keep, yeah, checking back in and having accountability, having people that will hold you accountable and say, not quite sure that's right here. Or so I think that would probably be what I'd say.
And also, Megan, you're quite a confident person. But when some of these opportunities come, you must feel totally daunted in, can I actually deliver this? Will this actually work? But there's no escape from that, is there, with the entrepreneur? You've got to kind of put yourself out there and just see. But the other thing you've told me is you've shaped it so much more as you've gone along. So it's, yes, you're focused, but to get it honed down and really good, you've listened as you've grown it, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You need to be adaptable and flexible. I think my confidence has grown over the years. You know, when I first started, it was, and yeah, it still is daunting, absolutely. There's, I guess, if it really makes you feel nervous to kind of put yourself out there and do this, you can be the entrepreneurial driving force and you can partner with someone else who can be the business brains or who can be the salesperson. So I guess don't let that fear hold you back. We're, you know, the world needs more entrepreneurs. So actually there's always ways around that. You don't necessarily need to start something on your own. You can take your idea to someone you trust and see if you can grow it together. I think for me, I've got a prayer team and I would be so lost without them. That gives me the confidence and the boldness to go and pursue these opportunities because I know that I've got that prayerful backing and that counsel from them where they might say, oh, actually, yeah, I don't think you should go after that, or you could have improved in this way when you did that meeting or whatever. So yeah, the board of trustees, they've all known me for years and years. So it's important to surround yourself with people that know you from different stages of your life, who can build you up and help you to develop your confidence. And it's okay to fail. You should fail. As an entrepreneur, if you're not failing, you're not being that entrepreneurial. So I think that's another important thing to remember. You know, you can grow your confidence and grow your business if you take these risks. And so, yeah, there'll be some really tough times. There's moments where I think, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Or how is this all happening? Or I feel so responsible. You know, you've got a team of employees, you've got to pay a salary at the end of each month. It can be really daunting, no matter how confident you are, how long you've been doing it. Those moments come, and that's why it's so important to have that support network, that community around you, so that you don't feel alone, and just to keep walking closely with God in this.
Yeah, and those failures are not really failures. They're just amazing learning opportunities if you take them right, which is all of us do that, but you don't let it destroy you. You kind of learn, why was that? Reflect, analyze all of that, which I'm sure you do, because the hashtag me is all about that, in being resilient, building that and embracing that. So you doing that for yourself means you're on the same journey. Megan, we're coming to an end here. Just give us how people connect with you or can find out about what you do. And any last little thought you'd like to give to people that have been listening to us would be great.
Well, just coming back to your original point, yeah, I'm often having others, my husband in particular, remind me, oh, you're not really practicing what you are teaching in your course. So yes, I think that was very noteworthy that you mentioned that. So you can connect with us online, www.hashtagme.com, written out in full, or our social media channels are at @real_me, again, written out in full. So you can find out more information about what we do and connect with us there. We love to hear from people. We're always exploring new, you know, opportunities and ways we can help. So yeah, please do check out the resources we've got available online as well. They're not exclusively for university or college settings. We've also got some free downloadable resources there for, you know, anyone, any age.
Megan, it's you're so enthusiastic, you're so energetic, you're just about to walk into another transitional point, just about to have a baby. It's been such a joy and privilege to see this growth that you've done. It's great that you're with us as a gospel entrepreneur, and I love what you do and the impact in what you've done in people's lives. And I would say you've found your sweet spot and calling in the Lord. When anybody finds that, there's no better place to be. Well done. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, brilliant. Thank you so much for the encouragement, Roy. It's been such a privilege and pleasure to chat with you.
Thanks, Megan, for joining me today. The thing I love about Megan is the idea that she then created as impacted literally hundreds of students. It's so exciting to see that entrepreneurial gift. And the thing I love about Megan is praying into it, getting the right support. These people are out there to enable what God gives us to have favor and flourish. So thanks, Megan. You can find out more about Gospel Entrepreneurs events she was talking about on the gospelentrepreneurs.org website. Gospel Entrepreneurs is a UCB podcast in partnership with the Revelation Trust.